We are grateful that you hold on to and cling to us. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. All right, so last week we talked a little bit about waiting. And we talked about how no one likes to wait, right? No, most people are just not patient people. It's just the way it is. It's not that big of a deal. But what do you do when you are waiting? So you're trying to maybe get pregnant with your wife, and it's not working, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting so that you can finally bring a child in this world. What do you do while you're waiting? Or you're waiting, and you're waiting, and waiting for the colleges to contact you back to let you know if you've been accepted into their programs. What do you do while you wait? Your grandkids said that they would FaceTime you at 8 p.m. And you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. What do you do when you're waiting? I think this is important. I think one thing that I've had to examine, especially this week with this text, is not just what do we do when we're waiting, but what is our attitude while we're waiting, right? For most people, I think our attitude is one of maybe sulking. I am waiting to get out of the house because my parents are driving me nuts, so I am going to sit around and sulk all day long. Maybe you're just filled with anxiousness. You went to the doctor to get tests on that lump, and now you're waiting for the doctor to contact you back. And so you simply worry, what is going to happen? These are some of the feelings that I think the disciples felt, but the disciples had been radically changed and transformed. They had met with and visited with and encountered Jesus Christ, and when they had done so, it transformed their lives into people that may be sulkers, people that may just simply revert back to what they know. They actually changed, and they give us kind of this, almost a blueprint really, of what do we do while we're waiting. They had been promised that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them. They were told that something miraculous was going to take place, and they needed to wait for that power to hit. Jesus said, head on back into Jerusalem and just wait there. And we know that that waiting took about 10 days. So what did they do while they were waiting for those 10 days? Now again, they also had no idea how long they had to wait. After day one, do they go, well, did it happen? I don't feel any different. Do you have any power? I don't got any power. They wait day two. They wait day three, day four, day five, day six. Probably there comes a point when they're like, is this really going to happen? Maybe their frustration level is running high. Maybe they're thinking to themselves, I need to get back to work. I need to move on with my life. Maybe Jesus wasn't really right. Maybe we need to rethink. Really interesting then when we see what happens when they wait. All right, so verse 12, you there with me? Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. So right from the beginning, we learned something really cool about this. What did Jesus tell them to do? Jesus told them, go back to Jerusalem and wait. And what did the disciples do? They went back to Jerusalem. Isn't that fantastic? Again, I sometimes come down hard on the disciples, mainly because I see a lot of myself in them, their inability to just even follow some simple obedience instructions. And so here is a time that they actually do what they are told. They return to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk. Verse 13, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room that they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. Wait a second. Judas, son of... Yeah, this is one of those problems because much like I think we have today, there's different people that have different names, maybe nicknames. Some people go by their middle names. Our oldest son, we call him Mark Thomas. It's really weird when people just call him Mark because that's not how we refer to him. It's Mark Thomas or Bubba. That's really it. So here we got you. Could you imagine him later on in life? Like, hey, who are you? I was one of the disciples. I'm Judas. You! No. I'm Judas, son of James. I'm a different dude. The other guy's gone. Really? Are you sure? Yes. I would imagine at that point I might be changing my name. That's just my thoughts. But anyway, the disciples, they're all there. They're in the upper room. We're not too sure if this is the same upper room, but best evidence shows that this is the same upper room. The same upper room that they had communion in, where they celebrated the final Passover and the first Lord's Supper, where Jesus instituted this special meal. It also seems to be their base of operations. And as best we tell, later on in the book of Acts, we find out that this is where John Mark, the writer of the gospel, Mark, his parents owned this house. So this very well could be the same thing. So they got this base of operations there in Jerusalem. And all the disciples are gathered there. And what do they do? Verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer. What is one thing we should be doing while we're waiting? We should be praying. Let me finish the verse, finish the thought. Along with the women. What? You mean women can be a part of like prayer and guidance of the church? Absolutely. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Go Mary, and with his brothers. Yeah, again, how crazy. I'm always amazed at Jesus' brothers because, you know, Jacob, what would happen if you found out that Joshua was the sinless Christ, the Messiah that was to come into the world to say, you'd be like, no. I know where all the bodies are buried. Yeah, this is. Now, what would be worse is, what if Joshua was actually perfect? Then you would believe it? But still, he's your brother. That would be hard. So Mary's there, got your perfect baby child there. There's Jesus, the brothers, the women are there. Again, the amount of times that the women are mentioned, especially in the book of Acts, is to really highlight this inclusion that God has for the kingdom of God. Women back in that day were not seen as very important. And the fact that the first people to see Jesus alive, women. The first people to really get the advertisement of Jesus being alive, women. The fact that they're there at the upper room with the men. They're not just up there like, hey, can I get you some more tea? You know, can I get a refill on your coffee or maybe give you a little neck rub? No, that's not why they're there. They're there because they are an integral part of the ministry that's taken place. And so the women are there. And what are they doing? They are praying. Again, sounds standard, right? But let's be honest, how often do we avail ourselves of this? And please, this is convicting of me too. I tend to, when I'm waiting, I tend to just think of, what am I going to do when I'm not waiting anymore? That's what I go to. Very rarely do I spend then time in prayer. So, as I've been thinking about this and praying about this, I want to remind us again to continue lifting up one another. Right now, and I haven't done it very well, and my apologies, and I'm going to be better at this. Right now, we have a prayer chain that if people have prayer requests and I get them, I send it out then to the prayer team. If you've just downloaded the new app, there's a spot in there where you can click prayer request. and that prayer request comes straight to me. And then if you want to keep it private, there's even a button that says, I want to keep this private, don't spread this around. And if you click that, then I'll just keep you in my private prayers. If not, then I'll send it out to the team so that everyone can be praying. And I am wondering that this is a perfect time for us, because what can we be doing while we're waiting? What can we be doing as we're waiting for this stay-at-home order to be lifted, for this virus to pass? We could be sitting in our house just sulking. We could be sitting in our house just anxiously waiting to get out. We could be sitting in our house just worried all the time. And this is why Jesus gives this to us, is being people of prayer will help alleviate that particular stress. Now, we don't have to pray, dear Lord, I hope that you come in power at some point. Why? Because Jesus had already promised it. Dear Lord, I pray that the church will continue on. Guess what? Church will continue on no matter what happens. We don't even have to pray for that. You know what we should be praying for? Dear Lord, what should I be doing during this time? Lord, I am overwhelmed with stress right now. Lord, I cannot handle that these kids don't know how to log into their online classes anymore, and their parents are driving me nuts. Sorry, that was a story that was told this morning. Let me privately, was teacher in the room here. Lord, what do I do? God is there to help take away those stressors. God is there to remove the anxiety. If we spend all of our time focusing on the problems, focusing on the issues, and not unburdening ourselves, then we're just going to be a mess. That's why I think the disciples had to be praying. Because every day they wake up, well, what do we do now? I don't know. Let's pray. So, what should we be doing as a church during this time? Why don't we pray? And I know that some of you might be like, well, my problems are really not that big compared to other people's problems. Yeah, because I know that God really ranks problems, and he you know, only attends to like the really important ones only. No, he attends to them all. To the 8-year-old kid who is hurting because their goldfish just died, all the way to the 92-year-old who is on a ventilator. God wants to hear it all. So if you have prayers, send them in. If you are one who will be willing to pray with me and with other people in the church, send me an email or send me a text. I just simply add it. When I do an email prayer chain, I usually try to collect 3 or 4 unless it's like time sensitive. And then I shoot it out. You're not going to get blasted every single day with like 12 requests to pray. It'll come in these big chunks. But if you want to do that, just send me an email. I'll add you to it, and you'll just get... Don't use this as the opportunity to be like, well, I kind of want to know what's happening in people's lives. And so... No. This is, I want to pray for people, and I want to help them out. And then send in your prayer requests. I think this is what we should be doing while we're waiting. All right, so they're praying, and they're praying, and they're praying. And then in verse 15, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Go, Peter! I love this guy. He's my man. I really do. I am brash like him. I am dumb like him. I just love it. So they're gathering, and Peter's like, you know, I think we could be doing something else while we're praying. And so he stands up, and he says, and he stood up among the believers, and it's a group numbering about 120. So again, we have kind of these I don't know, circles, you might say. You've got the 12 disciples, but then it spreads out beyond that to the 120, and then even more, 500, and then thousands. Again, we are all disciples. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Yes. If you are someone who learns at Jesus' feet, you are a disciple. Also, are you an apostle? If you are someone who is sent out by God in order to spread his word, You're an apostle. Yay. Are you someone who works at the church? I've done this before. Raise your hand if you are a church worker. Yes, you've learned. If you didn't all raise your hand, let's try this. Who here believes in Jesus? Who here believes that Jesus has something for them to do? So who here is in church work? Yay! All right, good. You're all in church work. Congratulations. God has called you to do something, and you are a disciple, and you are one who is part of this thing called church. I love it. So he stands up by the 120, and he says, brothers! It's masculine plural, which is how they would designate a mixed group. So we could easily translate this as brothers and sisters, and it's not something weird and wacky. It's very true. Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. Man, there's a lot in here. First of all, you know what I like Peter did? Brothers and sisters, the Lord has spoken to me, and I feel we need to do this. Now, is there anything wrong with that? I mean, there's nothing wrong. That's how God does communicate in this way. But I think that sometimes there is a temptation, or maybe it's only me, I sometimes have a temptation to have a really strong desire for something, and so what's really nice is just simply put in front of it, the Lord has spoken to me, and then all of a sudden now it's really religious, and now you have to follow it because I'm the pastor and the Lord has spoken to me, and you can't stop me, right? Because be like, then I'd say, you're going against the Lord. And you'd be like, huh? This is what happens, you know. Guys, I swear, if I hear any guy doing this, I will hunt you down personally. When I've heard guys will go up to young women and say, the Lord spoke to me, and we're going to get married. And she's like, what? Hey, women, here's the line back. If a guy ever says that to you, here's the line back. Well, the Lord didn't speak to me, and I think he would probably clue me in on this plan, okay? So be careful when we, now God does speak this way. Well, Peter grounds his speech in what? Word of God. Just as Heather said in the children's message, the Word of God. And he is studying it, he is learning it, he is growing it, and he is seeing how it applies. So again, please don't get me wrong, God does speak to our hearts. He does, with his Holy Spirit, influence us, push us, things like that. But never let that be a substitute, a wholesale substitute of what the Word of God says. When you can get what God speaking to us directly and God speaking to us through his Word, you've got a powerful recipe for some amazing stuff. So Peter, grounded in the scripture, speaking through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has already spoken through the scriptures, right? This is not just a book written by men, a bunch of fat guys sitting around a table eating donuts. No, this was written by men as they were guided by the Holy Spirit, inspired by God. This is God's word. That's why we call it God's word. And he says, we got to do something about this dude named Judas. And he was one of our number. It's not as strong. Verse 17, he was one of our number and shared in this ministry. If I was going to translate a little more literally, it would say, and he was a deacon. That's the diaconate, this assistance in ministry. Yeah, don't ever forget that Judas was not a good guy, yet he was a leader in the disciple group. He was the treasurer. He focused on the poor. He often spoke up at times. Judas was part of this. So again, always a great reminder, just because you go to virtual church doesn't make you a Christian, right? Just because you sing or play or operate a camera or sound, just because you speak these words does not make you a Christian. It's my relationship with God. It's that he has called me by his Holy Spirit. He has loved me. He has given me his grace upon grace for the forgiveness of my sins and the promise of eternal life. That's what saves me. And now my actions are that I go out and continue to spread his word. So Judas, he heard, you know, this is a very helpful thing. If you've ever tried to tell people about Jesus and tried to, you know, let them know about what it means to be a Christian, it doesn't work. Have you ever tried that? I did that years ago. There's a guy I was really trying to convert. And, you know, I'm just an amazing speaker. And I know the Bible inside and out. And I know all the apologetics courses that are out there. I could not do it. Why? Because it's not me. That's got my job is to speak God's word, to give God's grace, to help them understand that. But ultimately, that's not mine to make them Christian. And Judas himself, after being around Jesus, was not a believer. Crazy that he was there, saw all the miracles, witnessed everything that was going on, and still did not trust in Jesus. And then we get this little parenthetical statement that Luke is writing with this reward he got for his wickedness. Judas bought a field. And again, semantics. Some people are like, no, Judas didn't buy the field. The chief priest, yeah. And whose money was it? Remember, they gave him 30 pieces of silver, and then he went and threw it back, and they're like, well, we got to buy a field with that. So it's all semantics, but you get the gist of this, right? So there's this field, and there he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Yes! Don't you love the Bible? I love it. Now, some of you might be thinking to yourself, wait a second. I thought Judas hung himself. And yes, you are correct. It either happened, we think, one of two ways. There's some other minor theories that are out there. I'll go to the two big ones. The first one is that when he went and hung himself, as he, you know, I don't know, did he jump off something and then he hung himself? Did he jump off a tree? We don't know exactly the mechanics. There is a possibility that he didn't know how to do it right, and if he jumped off in the wrong way, it could have popped off his head. So you would have said that he hung himself, and then his body hits the ground and his intestines spill out. But probably more likely, he hung himself. And who's going to take the body down? Especially if it's in a position that you can't really get to. So then after a while, what's going to happen? You know, the head's going to start to sever and it'll pop. This is good stuff, people. This is good stuff. And then his rotten, nasty, grody, sun-filled, hot body, you know, drops down, and when it hits the ground, what does it do? Pfft. I love it. Kids, are you watching? It's good stuff. Judas's body. Pfft. And I am reminded that when it says his intestines spilled out, the intestines are also, back in their day, that would be the seat of emotion. It would be almost even your life force. We call it kind of the soul now. His intestines, and can I give you an alternate translation to spilled out? Shed. Exact same words used in the words of institution. Very interesting. Verse 19, everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language, Akeldama. That is the field of blood. I just heard this morning. John was talking about changing the name of his band to Field of Blood. I think that's a great choice, John. I really do. You know, doesn't that sound like a great band name? We are the Field of Blood. And then just change it back to the Aramaic, Akeldama. We are Akeldama. I think it'd be cool. Yeah. All right. So that's what happened. And so this is that parenthetical thing to remind us. And so we know that Judas is not here at this particular meeting. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. These are quotes from the book of Psalms. Again, Peter is not just like, oh, hey, we've got an opening. Let's, you know, he's really using scripture to try to guide his decisions. And that should be us as well. And so verse 21, therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. This is the second point. So what do we do while we're waiting? We're praying in conjunction, especially with scripture, trying to understand God's will, trying to understand what to do, not letting our emotions get the best of us, allowing us to have our anxieties being calmed through prayer. But then we also prepare. we need to be preparing. Again, how easy it is for us when we get stuck in this waiting pattern, we just simply sit around and sulk, or we sit around and have anxiety. We just sit around and do nothing. This is the time to prepare. This is the time for us to do something. And that's what the disciples were figuring out. They're like, we need to get some stuff changed here. Judas is gone, and we need this 12th guy to join in. So he's like, I think we need to choose someone, and it's got to be one of these guys who's been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a martyr with us of his resurrection, must become a witness with us. So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. So they have prepared. They know that when the Holy Spirit's going to come on them, they're going to go. And they can't wait until they're sent out to go, oh, I guess we probably should have thought of this. We're trying to do the same thing here at Searchlight. And you could be doing the same as well. We as a church are trying to prepare, what is it going to look like when y'all get to come back and physically sit in here? We should prepare. What does it look like to continue on the live streaming so that the people from Tennessee and Washington and Texas and Missouri and Hawaii still want to log in and watch? What do we need to do to make sure that the preschool is prepared? Well, thank you to Paul Brewer, Robert Winnikin, Jacob, and Joshua, and Jared, and Mark Lehman, and I think I might be helping out a little bit every now and then, to be prepping. We're changing the preschool bathrooms. We're trying to prepare so that when we get the chance to be sent, we don't just simply revert to that which we knew in the past, but we are prepared for what God is going to do now in the future. What about yourself? Maybe you're waiting for that baby to come. Well, what should you be doing? Maybe you should be preparing. Maybe you should be buying things that are going to be helpful for you to be a good parent. Maybe you need to be studying. I'm sorry, I breathed in. Thank you, Jacob. I didn't cough into. when it surprises you, I'm just not quick at the dab. So, wah! Maybe you should be what should you be doing with your marriage during this time? Maybe you said, I need to do better. I need to prepare for what life is going to be like, and we can't just go back to the way it was. What do we need to do for our marriage? We stand here ready to help. Already, people have been contacting me. The ability to be able to do counseling, even in a distance way, amazing. What can you be doing to reconnect with your parents or your grandparents? What can you be doing to prepare yourself for what life is going to be like after this is all done? Don't just sit around. Don't just simply wait. Be praying and preparing. That's what we're trying to do here. And thank you for everyone who has helped out, especially around here. For all the people who have, we've got new lights that have come in. Thank you to the Nichols. We've been redoing some things because we're trying to prepare. What is it going to look like? But you need to be doing the same. Don't just sit around, wait, prepare. Maybe you do need to be praying more. Maybe that'd be a good thing. Maybe you need to be studying something about what the next phase of your life is going to be like. I don't know, maybe you just turned 18 and you're going to be heading off to college soon. Might be that guy right there. Maybe you're accepting a new job and you need to figure out, well, how do I do this job? Maybe you're going to be preparing over the summertime because you're a school teacher and you got to get ready for the next year. You're not too sure what that's going to look like. Maybe you need to be preparing for that. Are you preparing? That's what they were doing. I love this. And they prepared through prayer. They also studied God's word. They continued to talk amongst themselves. And out come these two guys, Joseph called Barsabbas. Yes, there is a theory that this might be Joseph of Arimathea. I don't know if that was him or not. And Matthias. And then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. It's this cool Greek word. It's actually God, the knower of all hearts. Isn't that a cool phrase? God, the heart knower. I think that's kind of a cool, what a great way to address God. God, heart knower. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left. I love it. He can't even bring himself to say, to go where he belongs. Yeah. It didn't turn out well for Judas. They're praying. They're preparing. They're leaning on God. I don't know if there was any, you know, campaigning. Did they have signs? Vote for Matthias. That'd be great. No, vote for Joseph. I have an alternate name known as Justice. Vote for Justice. I have no idea. And then they cast lots. Last time that we ever see this mode of choosing, of understanding God's will, most people believe that once we got through Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, things changed for us and we don't cast lots. But I think that there are times that we need to be making sure that when we make decisions, we're thinking of God first. We're not just randomly choosing stuff. And again, things that I think of, because they cast the lots and the lot fell to Matthias. How did Joseph feel at this time? He wanted justice and he didn't get it. Some people are like, but I voted for justice. And it didn't happen. Of course, do we even know much about the disciples after this? Yeah, we start seeing the spread of Christianity in such a way that two kind of come to the forefront, especially in the book of Acts, Peter and then Paul. But again, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about what God does through us. That's the most important thing. So Matthias was added to the 11 apostles. So what is going on in your life? What should you be doing? Is it time to be praying? Is it time to let down some of the anxiousness and the nervousness, maybe some of the anger and the impatience? Let me tell you, God strips that stuff away pretty fast when we're praying. Are you worried about your job? Pray. Send it in. We'll pray with you. Are you worried about the future? Are you worried about your money? Are you worried about what things are going to be like? Are you worried about getting sick? Let's pray about that. And then prepare. Continue to be logging in, studying Scripture. We're going to be going through Acts verse by verse. Continue to stay connected to God. And as you do that, you will see other things open up going, gosh, I could be doing this. I could be doing this. I could be doing this. All things that you can do to be preparing. Because God's going to be using you. God's going to be using me. God's going to be using this church to affect Orange County, California, a nation, the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you that you have, thank you that we have all been sent to our rooms to think about what we've done. And as we sit in our rooms, you have jobs that still can be done. Things we still can be doing. We could be praying, which is going to increase our connection to you and increase our connection to others. You're going to be preparing us, and we ourselves can be prepared for what's going on. And thank you for the chance to serve at this church and to be able to do all that you have called us forward. And we can only do this because of Jesus Christ. We can only do this because of all that he has done. So we thank you and we praise you because of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We join in worship.